the county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, a very good morning to you. It is 4 minutes past nine on this Wednesday, the 18th of January, 2023. How are you keeping? I do hope you're very well on another cold morning. In a way, I think the roads are a little bit more dangerous this morning. Not wishing to scare anyone. I know people have appointments and stuff, and we'll try and give you some specific information as we go along. But I mean, just myself on my route, they just felt a little bit less safe this morning than they did yesterday. If there's any information you need us to share out there, any questions you need us to answer, get in touch with us. WhatsApps or text to 086 60 25000, 086 60 25000, or give us a call on 07491 25000. Your comments come in to us via email on comments@highlandradio.com. And if you want to watch the programme on your TV, your laptop, whatever it is, go into YouTube, type Highland Radio Ireland. You can watch the show on your big screen. You can use Facebook Watch on your smart TV or Fire Stick, or on your tablet or mobile device as well, of course, and watch us there throughout the next 3 hours. See most of our guests as we talk to them. Or go onto our website, highlandradio.com, and click Watch Live. So no excuses. Chat to us, engage with us, no matter where you are, whatever you're doing. Let's look at the newspapers this morning. We'll start with the Finn Valley Voice. We need Gardaí. We need them fast, Harris told. We need our Gardaí to respond quickly. We need them to have the very best equipment, the very best vehicles, the very best communication systems to put them on the road quickly when a crime is committed. And especially in areas like the Finn Valley, we need our Gardaí to be on the case before the culprits escape across the border. Among the dozens of issues raised by the Donegal Joint Policing Committee to Garda Commissioner Drew Harris at last Monday's meeting, speed of response was paramount. On to the Inish Times, our focus on the NADOC story there. NADOC face-to-face appointments in Inishowen over Christmas and the New Year more than doubled compared to the same period last year. The out-of-hours doctor service, which has been under severe pressure due to flu and the emergence of COVID-19, saw the number of calls it received increase from 916 to 964, while doctor telephone advice calls increased from 73 to 107. Face-to-face appointments between doctors and patients increased to 581 from 243, while nurse telephone advice calls dropped from 213 to 117. Those are figures from the HSC. What was the situation with COVID last year, though? I'm not sure how much of that is us sicker this year, or we're out and about more, or what have you, but interesting stats nonetheless. The Garda Commissioner's visit to Donegal, the focus of the Donegal Post. Garda Commissioner Drew Harris received a grilling from several members of the Donegal Joint Policing Committee when he met them at Donegal County Council HQ in Lifford on Monday afternoon. He was challenged over resources, poor response times to crime, particularly along the border, pay, resources, the closure of stations in rural areas, and the new plan to regionalise the service. On to the Nationals now, and Eamon Ryan, obviously he likes to cycle around the place, but the reality is he's going to be getting protection, or he has protection anyway, and sometimes this protection is going to be cycling, but, and I kid you not, on occasions, Eamon Ryan's going to be cycling around with a protection officer driving around behind him. Green Party leader Eamon Ryan is to get a peddling protection officer at times when he's cycling around Dublin on ministerial duties. Mr. Ryan confirmed the move to the Irish Independent. His protective officer will be on a bike because Mr. Ryan does not use a ministerial car, unlike other members of the cabinet. However, his protection detail will occasionally, and they say occasionally, be in a car, a Garda car, depending on operational requirements. It's understood that expressions of interest to fill the role have been sought in recent days from Garda members. So on occasion, Eamon Ryan, because of his environmental views, will be cycling around Dublin on a bike, undertaking his ministerial duties, while at the same time, a person will be driving around behind him in a Garda car. This decision, or that decision, was made by Angada Síochána that we will now, as ministers in cabinet, have protective officers, Mr. Ryan said. That's their call in terms of security. I suppose they'll have to be flexible in my case because I will still be cycling. But that's something I have to work on with Angada Síochána to make sure it works for them as well as for me. Mr. Ryan had a meeting on the matter with Garda Commissioner Drew Harris. But if the government as a whole was as committed to the environment as we're told, surely it'd be more than just one. Why does it just happen to be the one Green minister that cycles around the place? It's not very reflective of the wider cabinet, is it? But maybe, you know, that's his choice. But as I say, just this notion of a petrol or diesel car driving around behind him and his bike with the protection officer just seems a wee bit strange. What do you think? Maybe it's a great thing. 086 60 25,000. The Irish Times confirms the story we've been carrying for the last couple of days. The government is preparing to sign off on a scheme costing up to $2.5 billion to address defects in up to 100,000 Celtic Tiger-era apartments, but will face further pressure to deliver for thousands of homeowners who've already paid to remediate such issues. So in other words, unlike what's happening here in Donegal, if someone's already spent the money fixing up their property as it relates to health and safety, well, they are likely, and you know, if they're printing it the way they are, they're going to be looked after. Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien, is expected to get cabinet approval this morning to draft laws enacting the landmark scheme to repair fire safety and other issues in the homes. Campaigners welcomed the news but warned that the detail of how the scheme, estimated to cost 1.5 to 2.5 billion, will operate would be crucial. The Construction Defects Alliance said last night that the fact that the government is about to make decisions on addressing apartment defects marked a major step forward. But the elephant in the room, of course, is the complete and utter lack of progress, as it seems, and as it relates to the defective concrete block scheme, which is only getting bigger and bigger because you might have heard over the last 24, 48 hours how more homes, more counties, more homes in the south of the country are being found to be damaged by defective concrete products. A quick one also on the front of the Times. Call for a tougher stance on so-called illegal immigration into the state has been heard at a meeting of Fine Gael politicians, with the issue moving to the centre of the political agenda as the Dáil resumes today following the Christmas break. The meeting held yesterday evening heard a range of views and concerns about migration becoming a divisive topic. A number of demonstrations have been held outside centres housing refugees and asylum seekers in recent weeks as the system has become stretched following a rise in arrivals. Some Fine Gael members told the meeting they wanted to see aspects of Irish immigration policy hardened up, with Carlo Kilkenny TD John Paul Phelan saying people who arrive and are suspected of having destroyed their papers en route should be deported immediately. I think most people might agree with that. You know, you have to have really quite specific documentation to get on an aeroplane or a ferry. And then once you are at arrivals, your documentation has disappeared. I don't think anyone thinks that's a good idea, that that should be allowed to happen, do they? 086 60 25,000, or call 07491 25,000. Maybe some good news for our hospitals. The flu wave seems to have peaked, but cases still remain high for weeks, TDs and senators were told yesterday. It comes as HSE interim CEO Stephen Mulvaney admitted he cannot guarantee people have not died due to overcrowding and trolley numbers in hospitals. I really see pointless, and we saw it a lot over the last couple of years, where people in certain positions are asked to guarantee one thing or other. You simply cannot guarantee anything in this life. But joined by other senior HSE officials, he told the Oireachtas Health Committee, influenza is kind of giving indications that it's peaked. It'll spend a number of weeks high before it starts going down fully. It'll still be high for a number of weeks. That will take us to the end of January and into February. But the sooner pressure is eased, the better. A lot of hospital workers working above and beyond really what they're contracted to do, and will be needing a break at some point because they're going to be completely burnt out otherwise. You know this, don't you? You're out shopping, you've seen the price of things go up, be it a loaf of bread, a carton of milk, a tin of beans. Well, Ireland's inflation soared last year and higher prices are set to come soon. New stats from the CSO yesterday show that the consumer price index rose by 8.2% between December 21 and December 22. Now, it probably would have rose 3 or 4 in ordinary circumstances, so 8.2 is somewhat higher. Energy costs continue to rise and there were steep hikes in food and drink. The cost of a loaf of bread was up 26 cents by the year end, and the price of 2 litres of full-fat milk rose by 57 cents. Irish cheddar up 151 per kilogram, and a pound of butter jumped by 71 cents. Spaghetti increased by 25 cents per 500 grams. And, you know, you add that up in the basket and you get to the checkout. You can see how it's hitting us harder in the pocket. Meanwhile, the cost of a pint of stout was 5.20, up 26 cents, while a pint of lager was 5.73, up 42 cents. Less relevant to me now than it ever has ever been, but anyway, and I'm on about the price of drink. There you have it. That was the Star. And lastly, were you watching Match of the Day last night? There was some strange noises as Gary Lineker was introducing the Liverpool game coverage. The BBC's FA Cup coverage was hit by X-rated noises played loudly on air last night. People with a mobile phone and with certain people around them would be familiar with the noises because a lot of people have been caught out by this in the past. But Match of the Day host Gary Lineker was trying to bring in Alan Shearer for pre-match analysis of the Wolves versus Liverpool game when the moaning began. He told viewers, "I don't know who's making that noise, but Alan Shearer's on the commentary gantry. I'm not sure if someone is sending something on somebody's phone." Lineker, 62, later joked at halftime, Harvey Elliott's goal was a screamer, which is not the only one we've had tonight. The cause was later revealed to be a mobile phone which was taped to the back of a seat, or to the back of the set. The BBC apologised and said it was investigating. I don't buy that. I know my way around a mobile phone. Unless it was the ringtone, actually. Maybe, you know what? I've just cracked the case. Okay, if it was set as the ringtone, then it could have been triggered externally. I was going to say, normally those things happen via a message or a WhatsApp or something. But no, I suppose if they'd set the ringtone to that noise, then that would... that would explain that. Right. A quarter past nine on the 9 till noon show, 086 60 25,000. WhatsApps and texts to that number, or give us a call on 07491 25,000. If we get any information as it relates to what's happening out and about there, we'll bring that to you, of course. Lee, as always, doing a sterling job keeping the county moving, or at home, dependent on the noises delivering. But the noise? The news. But we'll keep you up to date on this show as well. Stay right where you are. There's some really interesting stuff coming up, and I don't want you to miss it. All right, you're very welcome back to the programme. Now, if you travel through the Twin Towns, you will see, or you will have seen, that new high visibility crossings have been installed at four existing courtesy pedestrian crossings on the N15 in the Ballybuffet and Stranraer Towns. These new road markings have been introduced in an urban setting to help improve driver awareness of pedestrians crossing movements. Now, a recent amendment to the road traffic regulations makes provision for the use of these new crossings, zebra crossings, without beacons, consisting of road markings only. Now, I don't understand why that happened, but anyway, we're going to try and tease that out now. I'm going to welcome Patrick McGowan onto the show first, Councillor Patrick McGowan. Good morning to you, Patrick. How are you keeping?
Good morning, Greg. Keeping the best.
Right, now... the council says that they have polled the public since the installation of the crossings, Donegal County Council has carried out a post-installation review survey. From the feedback received, the crossings appear to be well received by the community. I have yet to engage with anyone from the community that not only has received them well, but thinks they're a good idea at all. So do you know who the council was speaking to?
No, I do know at least on one occasion they had someone that did walk well fenced in order, and they did ask general members of the public, and apparently, as you say, the feedback we got was that they got a very high positive rating on that, and that was sometime last year. I was actually speaking to someone that was interviewed about them, and that was the comment they made. Now, since that, and no more than yourself, we will be getting calls maybe twice a week from members of the public about these. I raised them at last September's meeting there. We got a response there, I think, in October there. We saw them at the MD meeting about these and all the other councillors and the public. Now, this came out of the blue yesterday. It was actually contacted by Highland Radio to say that about this press release, this statement that came out. I wasn't aware of it. I don't think any of the councillors were aware of it. And the first thing I had done there was actually in Balbay, and I drove back around the town to look for what changes had happened or signage, because it does say it's some high visibility crossings have been installed. Like I thought that they had actually, just with the last few hours, had erected new warning lights or signs. I went back around and see that nothing had changed. Then we read the statement, and obviously it says last September, there was a new law passed in the department that now gives these zebra markings on the ground without the beacon lights, gives them the same status. So they're zebra crossings. The problem is, they forgot to tell everybody about it, the public. The pedestrians don't know about it, and the drivers don't know about it.
Why introduce... I mean, obviously, zebra crossings were established with beacons and well lit up for safety reasons, okay? So why, for Ballybofey and Stranoller, is it okay to have crossings that function as zebra crossings with no beacons or no lights? Why? What is the advantage of them not being in any way marked or illuminated in advance?
I suppose the first thing here, this has come back. These have been rolled out apparently in a couple of towns across the country as pilot schemes last year. These are then very busy towns that have a problem. Now, they have a number of sets of lights and the three sets of traffic lights that have been in order. And as you, Greg, and everybody else knows, there's serious problems with tailbacks and that. So
Yeah, OK, that's frozen there. That'll we'll get Patrick back. I want to bring Siobhan in. Siobhan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. I think you share your particular concern as I do, and only as a motorist, and I'm not using this platform to push an agenda. It's just I generally have my concerns or genuinely have my concerns. The crossing at the bank seems particularly dangerous to me as a motorist. I don't know what your views are. Well, I'm reading your views. What's your opinion?
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely a ridiculous position for a cross, and it's very dangerous. It's just right there on a junction with two yellow boxes, an alleyway on one side, and if there's cars parked or vans or lorries parked, you cannot see clearly if somebody steps out from, say, the AIB side of the road if you're coming up the town, you know?
Mm-hmm. So if you're coming in from that road, you're glancing up to the right because the traffic's flying down in from the Donegal Road. You're glancing for a break in the road to pull left. In that moment...
If you're coming out of Glenfinn Street, it's particularly dangerous because, as you say, you are focusing on the traffic coming down, trying to get out into the line of traffic, and you pull out to go down the street and you don't even pull out properly and somebody's coming from the Bank of Ireland across the street in front of you. You know, it needs to be just removed completely, that particular crossing.
Yeah, and I presume there's quite a bit of traffic on it too, because people might be in the using the car park across the road and then using that crossing to go to the bank or other businesses.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Now, it is a bit of I suppose on both sides, both drivers and pedestrians, there would be a lot of non-local traffic coming up and down there, and they wouldn't know that crossing was there until you're upon it. Mm. Plus, there is a lot of people that just, and I know pedestrians do have right away, but there's a lot of people that don't even look, they just walk straight out because it's a crossing, you know, and if there is a car coming pretty close to them that may not know there's a crossing there, it's really just an accident waiting to happen.
And let's not forget yellow boxes. And
yellow boxes, yeah, and they're not being used properly at the best
time. Well, they never have been. Whatever hope we've got of people using a zebra crossing correctly, I think we can give up on the yellow boxes at this stage.
Yeah,
but it just throws another problem into the mix. That's at that corner, that junction.
It does. It's just whoever decided to put it in that position. I don't know what they were thinking. It's just ridiculous.
Siobhan,
it is an accident waiting to happen.
You've seen it almost happen.
Yes, twice, seen it almost happen. You know, one wee lady, she was just so close to being knocked down.
I know, it's worrying. All right, Siobhan, listen, thank you for taking the call. I really appreciate it. Brian, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Accident waiting to happen seems to be the buzzword for at least the bank crossing there. Whatever about the rest? Do you have worries about the rest of them, Brian?
I would have worried. There's two issues here. First of all, that in general, the zebra sort of markings were put on the road, but no signs, no beacons. But the one at the Bank of Ireland is particularly bad because you have two yellow boxes, you have a junction, and I have just seen so many near misses there. I was travelling along there myself, and somebody was coming along Glenfinn Street, a pedestrian, and they just walked straight across. So the pedestrian thinks they have the right of way. The motorist has to react is watching for different things. They're looking for the yellow boxes. They're looking for movement of traffic. And people, you've just, and you'll see from the response to your post yesterday, people are not happy. People are seeing it as a danger. Like, after they went in, I had to travel down the country and went through Limerick, different towns, and there was zebra crossing, pedestrian crossings, and they were nearly, there was lights, and there were signs. That there was, it was a completely different ballgame. So, it's okay for us locals. Now we're getting used to it. We're being cautious. But people travelling in from outside the county are they're going to be caught out, and there will be an accident.
And Brian, on the first, you see this, and we use the word accident, and I understand why you used it, but there's things contribute to things that make them not accidents. There's a cause and effect. I think the first time I drove through the Twin Towns when they were installed, someone was in dark clothing, and as I was approaching the crossing, they happened to be on the black part. And they believed they had right away. They were invisible, Brian. It was only as they stepped onto the white that I was able to see them. You know yourself, it was a dark, wet evening, windscreen wipers on, cars coming at you with their, you know, the new LEDs and what have you. You couldn't, I simply could not see the person, and just got glimpse of them as they stepped onto the white part of the zebra crossing.
Yeah, this brings together a lot of safety issues. There's the safety of pedestrians walking and dark clothing. There's the safety issue of the, you know, motorists being observant, and then there's the safety issue of what has been laid here. Has it been properly safety studied? Has it, is it following proper road design? Like, the council put a post up yesterday and some extract from legislation, but, you know, we should stick to what is a standard zebra crossing, because who is right, who is wrong? It'll be a session in court before it's actually realised what is right. And you'll see pedestrians are complaining that people aren't stopping. So everyone's going to be in the wrong until it's proven in court that, you know, what led to the so-called accident.
Listen, I think across the public, generally speaking, in terms of motorists and pedestrians, I would say 5% could accurately across the country could accurately tell you how these are supposed to work in terms of who's got right of way and what have you. I don't, personally, honestly, I don't think Ballybuffet and Stranoller and their local residents should be a testing ground for this until that knowledge is increased greatly. It just, it seems very worrying to me. And you put a very simple question. Rather than us talking about how they feel unsafe, you want an engineer to explain how they're safe.
Well, exactly. Like, if there is a change in road design, well, then this needs to go across the whole country in terms of the RSA, and like, it should be part of the test. Like, we're all used to what is the legislation, what is a safe pedestrian crossing, who has the right of way, etc., etc. In Ballybuffet, it's the main route from Galway to Derry. It's a national primary road. It's in, of course, it's in the town, but it's not safe. The people are saying it's not safe. The local councillors are being complained to. You know, the roads engineers are being complained to. So here you are in Highland Radio having to highlight it, and you know, let's just sort it out. Let's do them away with them, or just put up a simple sign, you know, at the location, pedestrian crossing, and
it has to be lit so that people. It has to be, and I also don't understand why some notification for pedestrians isn't a sign at these crossings for pedestrians. I don't understand why you would not try and empower people at least with information. Brian, thank you very much for taking the call. It's greatly appreciated. Councillor McGowan, so we're hearing a sample of it here. And also, too, you mentioned just before the line stuttered a little bit about how there's frustration in the Twin Towns and there's tailbacks and what have you. That is a strong argument for these being even more dangerous, in my view, because by the time you get past McElhenney's, right, the crossing at McElhenney's, and you're heading out the Donegal Road, you go, right, that's behind me. People put the foot down, whether they should or not, they put the foot down and they hit that bank corner. I just worry, Patrick, it's the only reason I'm talking about it, because I worry about it.
Yeah, look, and I have just an email, and all the councillors got one last week. We have residents in the Donegal Estate. The problem in Ballybuffet is when you have a traffic jam, the traffic's slowing down, people are meandering in between. But you see, when it gets quiet there in the evening, especially when it gets dark, the cars, as you say, are flying in Donegal Estate. Residents in Donegal Estate are just fed up with it. They cannot get out of their own houses. Now, what I did learn since this thing, as I say, this was raised in September and October at RMD. This is a national initiative, and the council's responding to it. Now, what I did learn was, it's within the Act and the law that signs can be raised. So that is possible.
But even, I would just wonder in other towns, Patrick, where they're being introduced, are there proper streetlights? The streetlights in Ballybuffet are very, very poor.
Yeah, that's on again, we've said it's badly lit. There was an independent survey carried out about 2 years ago. They said they're okay. But in my opinion, if they are okay, they're at the very minimum. They're not. For the amount of traffic on the National Primary Road, they're substandard. But since that as well, too, I've spoken to the county manager, the CEO yesterday, John McLaughlin, and Brian Cannon, who's on your show yesterday morning, and they have both agreed now they are going to ask for a public consultation in the town to bring in to deal with not just with these zebra crossings, to deal with the whole public access in the town. Mm.
I respect that, and we can talk about that, Patrick. I'm just worried that something's going to happen between now and then when you start grouping this in with a wider conversation, and it's very much needed, don't get me wrong. Stay where you are, Patrick. Alan, sorry for holding you, Alan. I want your views on this as well, please. Good morning.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm all right. Were you asked by the council what you thought of these?
No. That's one of the things that I mentioned actually under your own post there recently was, you know, this feedback that the council seemingly have to say that, oh, it's been well received. And I haven't met anybody, as a resident of the town, I haven't met anybody that says that they're a good idea. I think the principle around it is fine in terms of, yes, people want to see pedestrian crossings. They do want safe crossing places and all the rest. That's okay and well taken. I don't think this is a motorist versus a pedestrian issue. What I do think is this was put in as a pilot. Whenever it was announced as a pilot, there was people on social media giving out about it. I didn't hear any positive feedback at that time. I still haven't heard any positive feedback. And I would be very, very interested to hear where this feedback came from, and if the council have that, could they maybe publish that? Because again, this was something that was kind of foisted on people very quickly. I'm not sure what thought was put into it. Just because there was a drop curb at a footpath doesn't necessarily mean it's a good place for pedestrian crossing.
Are we separating out the Bank of Ireland crossing from the rest of them in terms of...
The one at the Bank of Ireland corner is the most problematic one because of the yellow boxes, because it's in a very busy junction. I'm on that every day. My parents live out the Glenfern Road. People will know that whenever you come in there, you're looking up the street to see what's coming down. If you can get out, you'll go. It's right at the corner. Now, I've seen pedestrian crossings at corners in different towns around Ireland, and there doesn't seem to be an issue. The problem is there, or with that one, is there's no signage. There's no barriers to stop pedestrians. They just walk on out, and it's in your own hands, be it then after that. Now, there is one in Stenorler. There's a couple in Stenorler as well. The one at the supermarket is fine, and it's a good spot. The difficulty is, again, when you're travelling from Ballybuffet over Stenorler, you can't see anybody coming from the left-hand side.
Parked cars
are blocking the line of sight. So you need something to indicate to slow down or to stop or some awareness, not only normally, for the drivers.
Do those crossings not normally encroach out into the road? So in other words, when you're stepping off the footpath, you're stepping off the footpath beyond a parked car. That makes sense. And the reason they intrude out into the road like that is so motorists can see the pedestrian stepping onto the zebra crossing. So why is it okay to roll the dice in Stranorler and not have that feature, but it's not in Letterkenny, or it's not in Ballyshannon, or it's not in Sligo?
I don't know. I don't see why it's okay. I don't think it is okay. You know, I think the motorist needs to get some awareness that there's a crossing there to begin with. If there is a parked van there, and I've had to brake hard a couple of times, not only in the Glenfern Street one at the Bank of Ireland, but also in the one in Stenorler. And again, that's a busy one in Stenorler, going to a busy shop over there. You know, so you do need something, not only just for the drivers, but also for pedestrians. Because again, pedestrians have this opinion, sure, I can walk on out, and you have to stop no matter how hard you're going. You know,
well,
now
he does have the right of way. I mean, that's
yeah.
That's
I'm not disputing that. What I'm saying is, again, though, that there needs to be a cautious approach taken here and to press the pause button. The road safety officer was on this morning on the news bulletin, and basically, you know, again, I'm really interested to see this feedback because I'm on that every single day, and I've seen so many near misses. You know, now, I normally would have stopped anyway if I seen a pedestrian, an older pedestrian, or somebody with a...
And I would love to get a chat to Brian, and I've the height of respect for Brian, but he is the road safety officer. I hope he's actually stood and looked at the crossings. Do you know what I mean? Because, you know, to get an endorsement from a road safety officer to a project is very, very significant. And I hope Brian's been out there himself and stood at that corner and said, OK, right, do you know what? As the road safety officer, I believe this is safe. Or go down to the ones we're talking about by the supermarket and say, as the road safety officer, I've looked at this and I believe it's safe, rather than maybe taking engineers' words for it. I'm not saying he is, by the way. As I say, it's nothing but respect for Brian, but in that position, I hope he's done his own sort of visual assessment at the very least. Patrick, do you know if that's what happens?
Sorry, Alan, just one second.
Alan, go on.
Well, basically, I mean, this is, if this was rolled out as a pilot project, right, there obviously has to be some evaluation done of a pilot before it's enacted fully. You know, so what I'm interested in is to see, well, if they've done that, and this is a pilot, and they've done an evaluation, and they have the feedback, fine, publish that.
All right, thanks, Alan. I appreciate you taking the call. Good morning to you. Patrick, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what that role entails, but presumably...
My understanding is that, yes, they carried out... someone walked the street from Stenarda to Balbuffet, because I actually spoke to someone who had met him, and they just interviewed people on the street, and they asked them, were they aware of them, and how did they find them? The report that came back that said that... I can be corrected in this, but I think they said it was 90% positive. But look, I don't know, they weren't that long at the time, but it's certainly, and I asked the CEO and the yesterday, was that satisfactory? And they said no. They do believe there should be a bigger campaign around it. It is possible to erect signs. The one at the Bank of Ireland is obviously at the wrong place and needs to be moved, and it is possible to put up these signs. What they have said to me is, in order to do it right, and even though it's gone past now and they should have done it already, both the county manager and them will ask for a proper audit to be carried out and to bring road design people down and see if this is satisfactory. Because
just back up to the one up in Stranola there, where there is a crossing at the supermarket there. Approach that. Now, the legislation would have the pedestrian to make sure there isn't a car coming or the car slowing, and for a car driver or lorry driver or whatever it is, to ensure that they're checking that no one's crossing, or if someone's crossing. The lines of sight are blocked. How is that acceptable, Patrick, in your view?
As you did say earlier, and that was correct, within them locations, the footpath was widened out and the road was narrowed to them. They're at Andy's and Stenarda, and it's further down in Jack Ellers and Balfay. There's no parking there. The footpath's moved out, and then they come, as I say, last year, put these down. But no, they're just nobody is aware of them. Pedestrians are not aware, and actually people are still crossing in between them anyway. So they obviously need a major campaign, and they also need to be signed. And within this act that was signed last year, it allows for signage. So simply need to put up proper either globes or round circular signs.
I mean, like, you know, the ridiculous situation of the one at the bank is, if you're crossing, if you're a pedestrian crossing from the bank, what do you say to the sign? Look left, look right, look behind you, look in front of you. Like, I'm not being facetious, but you know, in Donegal Town, they've got the courtesy crossings. They don't have the same, the pedestrians don't have right away, but it's like, look left, look right. At that crossing from the bank, it's look everywhere. You look over your shoulder, you look up the road, look across the road, look in the middle of the two yellow boxes. Anyway. Patrick.
I know what our first MD meeting after they were put up, that was raised immediately by all the councillors and asked for them to be moved. And now it's gone on 7, 8, 9 months and they're still there. And we were as surprised as anybody else yesterday to hear this announcement. And I can sure can speak for all the councillors, we don't accept it. And we have got the insurance now from senior management. Whatever the department in Dublin says, we want this reviewed and changed and signs put up. But first, we want public consultation, and we want these people to come down and tell us what they're at.
Yeah, and maybe walk the streets themselves on a cold, wet, wintry night and see if they want to roll those dice. Just before break, Jonathan, good morning to you. Thanks for taking the call. Your views on this as well? I mean,
good morning, Craig.
I'm more than happy to speak to anyone in favour of them. I've yet to identify that soul, but so we'll go with what we've got at the moment. Your soul, Jonathan. Go ahead.
Good morning, Craig, and belated Happy New Year to yourself and the family and to Patrick there online as well. The bottom line is these pedestrian crossings, as they're so-called, are not fit for purpose. I'll mention the ones to order's fine. It's not fine. Number one, if you're approaching, as somebody mentioned last night on your page, Greg, if you're approaching from the Millbrae exit and you stop at the junction, somebody at the pedestrian crossing thinks you're stopping to let them across. Mm. They proceed on across, you turn around, and you're nearly on top of a pedestrian. You mentioned yourself, Greg, that when you took off from Echolhinnies at the only official pedestrian crossing in the Twin Towns, you put down, you're getting into second or third gear. And within a few yards, we've seemed to forget about this pedestrian crossing at the Garda Barracks. So you've slowed down once again. And the one at the bank corner, who in their right mind puts a pedestrian crossing between two yellow boxes? Now, Patrick says this is all going to be sorted. This is going to be new surveys, etc., etc.
Well, no, he's calling for it. I don't think you've committed to that, Patrick, have you? You know.
We've asked for it.
I know he's committed.
County manager.
Go on ahead, Jonathan.
Yeah, this takes time, and I just spoke to a member of the Chamber of Commerce before coming on to speak to yourself, and they said that this won't be sorted overnight. Well, I says a fatality can occur overnight as well. You approach from the Donegal Road most days, Greg, and if you see as you approach just at the second petrol station, there's the traffic cabin measures with the yellow signs and the little arrows. Something as simple as that, as you approach those pedestrian crossings, would alert you to the fact that you're actually nearing a pedestrian crossing and that something's going to, you know, that you need to slow down, basically.
Yeah.
But they don't serve the purpose. The public that were consulted in this must have been shoppers outside a certain shop in Val Buffet there for the day or certainly
well, that's a fine zebra. I mean, that's a fine zebra crossing. And as I say, there's a couple of things I would like to know. I would like to know if there was an assessment by road safety officer of these crossings and also the nature of the survey, how many people were asked. Patrick, you seem to...
You mentioned...
Yeah, go ahead.
At night time, sorry for interrupting.
No.
You mentioned at night, coming through when it's dark, it's almost impossible to see anybody except with the one at the barracks because they've extra lights. The lighting itself in the Twin Towns is a disgrace. That, along with... And I know I'm sidetracking slightly, Greg, but would you believe it? Maybe you wouldn't, but I'm sure Patrick's fully aware that Stranorna, as a town, has not one disabled parking spot. I know I'm sidetracking, but it's food for thought. There's 9 premises, and not one of them has a disabled parking spot outside of it. That's not your issue of the day, and they are.
And we could do another show on that. There's 2 in Donegal town.
Yes.
On the actual diamond of the town, 2, yeah. I believe. There was one for a long time.
What you're concerned with at the minute are the so-called pedestrian crossings.
Well, they are pedestrian crossings.
Not fit for purpose. Yeah, there is going to be somebody knocked down. Then they'll be changed overnight. And in the meantime, it's just a complete accident with them. The design of them and who designed them and put them where they are, bigger belief.
There are cases recently whereby a person can step out in front of a vehicle or a vehicle can... In other words, what the point I'm trying to say is there doesn't have to be an awful lot of speed involved for a pedestrian to come off very badly against a lorry, a tractor and trailer trying to come down Donegal Roads to slow down. Jonathan, thanks for coming on. Stay with me, Patrick, if you don't mind. I have to take a quick break. Good night. Cahill, good morning to you. Your views on this, please.
Well, I use them regularly, and I think they're a good thing. The other thing I was wondering is... Everybody has been on this morning. Are they drivers or pedestrians?
Very good
question.
I know
you can be both. Yes. All this now about shared space. And shared spaces, because that one at the Bank of Ireland, that's a very busy spot for both pedestrians and drivers. And there's banks there, there's chemists there, There's other shops there. And could instead of giving out about it, is there a spot in that area that they would consider safer? And the other question is, Councillor McGowan there, surely that was discussed at meetings. They didn't just, somebody just didn't say, oh yeah, we'll put that there, surely.
I'm not really, I think the way the local government works is that's precisely probably what happened, Cathal. I'm not sure how much councillors are consulted in advance, but I think you raise a very good point. Are we today talking about pedestrians or are we talking to motorists? The only thing I would say, Cathal, and we can have aspirations of respecting each other and the shared space, but unfortunately the reality is, Cathal, that we can't trust us to do that, and that's why we need flashing lights and bells and whistles and beacons and stuff, Cathal. Do you know what I mean? I think that's the problem.
But my fear is that now there's all this talk about we have to have discussion. Those things disappear. I'm of an age now where it takes a bit longer to get across the road,
mm-hmm.
and I feel that there's a lot of ground given to, I am a car driver, to car drivers. So I think as from the outset of them being put down, I notice now that drivers are more aware of them. Okay. And it'll take time for them because it has to get into their mindset. And people are saying people come from here, there and everywhere. They have to go through the town. It soon gets known that these things are in the town and people will start. Okay, whatever, but the lights, that would make it even better. But I wouldn't like them to disappear in the meantime.
Yes, I get
you. Because it makes it very, very easy for me.
Have you any close shaves, Cathal, or have they always worked perfectly safe for you?
They've always worked perfectly close because I'm observant.
Mm-hmm.
I realise that you have to give the driver a little bit of time, like the ad on the TV shows,
yes,
for the driver to see you. I would hate that they would disappear. And
right, okay, I get you, Cathal. So let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Okay, Cathal, listen, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it, and I really appreciate your time this morning as well, Councillor McGowan. A very good question. Who was asked? Are we talking to pedestrians or are we talking to motorists? I suspect we're talking to a combination of both, but I think Cathal has made some very, very fine points there. And he, in the big furora, if we were to take a knee-jerk reaction to this kind of a conversation, would hate to see them gone. So
I think I can answer that question, Cathal. The people that you're interviewing this morning, I've known them all very well. They're all local people and they're both. You'll see them walking every day in the town, shopping or doing the bit, and they also drive us. So they are genuine, and all the, I would say 99, all of the comments that you're getting on the Facebook as well, like they are genuine. I'm getting the exact same ones as the other, Martin Harley and the other councillors. We are getting it. As I say, it's very, very important that people are able to cross the road, because there has been quite a few people knocked down in the town at different times. But we need to get it right. This has not been done right. It seemed to be a total lack of communication from the department to the council.
Were you consulted in advance, actually? It's another question Cathal asked. Surely this came up in a meeting and local reps were able to have their say.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you how that happened. And you pointed it out earlier yourself. You see where the road has been narrowed and you have these outshots from the footpath within Balvin. So they were done about 5 or 6 years ago. We were told they'd been put there. The concern at the time was they were outside businesses. Businesses were losing parking spots and they were out. But we felt they were good enough and they were brought and we were told they were going ahead.
Yeah.
This is the National Roads Authority. They can do, they have the final say.
And
the same with these, we were told that they were bringing in some kind of pedestrian or zebra crossings, and lo and behold, it turned up. We asked the next day, where's the lights? Then we're told afterwards, there ain't no lights. This is a new pilot scheme. And we're sitting now 7, 8, 9 months and we're asking for the lights. We have all asked immediately for the
lights,
the microphone to be moved.
Okay.
So we're the same concerns as the public, and we are asking that not just to get rid of them, but they're going to have to provide proper advance warning signs and something that's safe for everybody. Yeah.
Give everyone a fair crack at the whip and keeping everybody safe. Take care of yourself. Councillor Patrick McGowan there. Okay, listen, thanks to all of you for getting involved in that conversation.
broadcasting throughout the Northwest and across the world online. This is Highland Radio.
Your voice, your station. Highland Radio.
The 9 till noon show with Letterkenny Credit Union, now offering mortgages from 40,000 to 600,000 euro with no hidden fees or transaction charges. Letterkenny Credit Union, 9102127.
The world awaits you. Make that dream your next adventure. Cruise the Caribbean, sail from Crete to Corsica, soak in Santorini sunsets, dine on the shores of the Indian Ocean, stroll through cobbled streets for hidden gems, or bring the little ones to a magical wonderland. Trust the award-winning Atlantic Travel to guide your next adventure. Step through our doorway to the world. Atlantic Travel, Letterkenny.
Do you suffer from high cholesterol, menopause symptoms, digestive issues, anxiety, aches and pains, or a lack of energy? The highly trained team at The Natural Way Letterkenny can provide advice on natural remedies for a number of individual health issues. The Natural Way also has its own brand of herbal treatments to help fight fatigue, relieve digestive discomfort, maintain a healthy immune system, and alleviate common menopause symptoms. The Natural Way at Letterkenny Shopping Centre, your one-stop health shop.
Green Shoes Big Winter Sale is now on, with massive reductions. Up to 50% off across your favourite brands, including Echo, Tommy Bow, Kate Appleby, Una Healy, and many more. Green Shoes at Market Square, Letterkenny Shopping Centre, and in Fulcara. Or shop online at greenshoes.com.
Are you a Leaving Cert student that is looking at your options for 2023?
Or are you interested in upskilling and progressing in your career with a postgraduate degree or springboard-funded course?
Come along to A2 Donegal's open evening on Wednesday, 18th of January from 4 to 7pm in our Letterkenny campus.
Talk to us about our part-time, flexible postgraduate programmes and find out all you need to know about eligibility and funding available through Springboard.
And learn more about our 20 brand new CEO programmes that will be available this year.
A2 Donegal's open evening, Wednesday, 18th of January from 4 to 7pm.
See you there.
Highland Radio weather updates with Ireland West Airport. Thinking of a sun holiday this summer with the family? Fly to Alicante, Malaga, Faro, Lanzarote, Mallorca and Milan with Ryanair. Ireland West Airport. Don't just take off, take it easy.
All right, what I'll do is give you the weather alert from Metairn. Staying cold in Donegal until Friday with sharp to severe frosts and icy stretches on roads and footpaths. Some showers of hail, sleet and snow are expected with potential for freezing fog. So that's over the course of the next couple of days. All right, we do have to take another break just ahead of the news. Let me see how long it is. Yes, there it is. Just to remind you that you can get involved in the conversation, 086 60 25000, 086 60 25000, or give us a call on 074 91 25000. Some of your comments coming in: Ballybuffet Crossing, a total nightmare for drivers. Another: we're now in 2023 and we're still driving through two towns in Ballybuffet and Stranorla. Time for the bypass. Well, we could do the next 2 hours on the bypass, I think. When you're standing at a crossing, and I'm talking about the ones with the two yellow boxes, we have a few new ones in our town. The drivers know you're waiting to stop, but 20 or more cars could pass before one decent person would stop. I was told it's a law that they're not obliged to stop. Is this right? I'm not sure of the question. You can't stop in a yellow box. I know that for a fact. All right, back after the news and obituary notices.